Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. Meeting done. Let's get back after it. No screwing around. During my time away, I don't know if it's the northern air or what, but in my effort to recharge my batteries, pretty ridiculous for me that on my vacation, I'm still getting up at 5 in the morning, Monday through Friday, to go to the radio show in northern Michigan. I said to Diana, I go, is that not something? And she goes, yeah, I know. But you know, I'm home at a time where she hasn't even been up that long because she sleeps in. And then I get back, but then I'm like kind of out of it because, I mean, like I hear a lot of times I won't take a nap and I get up like 1 minute before 6 a.m. There I get up at 5 a.m. It's remarkable how much that 1 hour, how much that affects things, because I get done with that radio show and then I get back to Fear Bunker North and I'm kind of like, hey, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to crash. And a couple times I just was gone. I think it might have to do, of course, I don't know, but it's different air that you're breathing up there. Actually, it was kind of polluted because of those Canada wildfires that the air came down. But it was overall outstanding. Not that I, I need a break from the podcast. I signed up for this. I love this. It could be worse. I could have to work. Who wants to do that? You know? But it was all good. Great time. I got to hang out with Charity Scam Mike and my beloved stepsister, Elizabeth, and my niece, Sophia. Sophia is has her really, really bad hand that was dealt to her. She was given a blend of autism and Rett's syndrome. You can look that up. Find out what that is all about. But what that leads to is a concoction of a young person, 25, 26 years old now, and nonverbal, and kind of like the puzzle pieces in her brain are all floating around. They all fit together, but they don't go together. They don't ever encounter each other and like lock. Occasionally, you'll get a couple of puzzle pieces that fit together, and she might utter a word. And her fingers are constantly in her ears. Constantly. I learned that people that whose brains operate the way someone like Sophia's operates is that they hear things. Like if you say hello, you hear me say that to a person like Sophia, that's 25 times louder. So I was like, well, fuck. I mean, this is going to get loud here at the canoe race. The start of this canoe race, this is 5,000 people screaming bloody murder. And they go, that's fine. I go, is it? Anyway, we had a great time. Awesome. Got to hang out. All the pooches. O'Neill only ran away once. No, twice. Stevie's like, God damn it, Eric, watch that dog. Timeout. put a note in the O'Neill story. God bless Stevie. God bless her puppy dog that went to the Rainbow Bridge. That just happened. Like a couple of days ago. So she's grieving. Losing a puppy dog is never, it's just the worst. But hats off to the people that put the puppy dogs down when, like, they don't want to put them down, but they still do. And that's a very painful thing to do. But, you know, it's the right thing to do. Euthanasia of the puppy. Hell, it's the right thing to do. Euthanasia of the humans. I kind of wish we had that philosophy. Well, there are in some places you can. I don't know where, but there are some places where you can do that. And I'm like, I'm all for it. I'm like, fuck yeah. You know, somebody who's comatose, living in a vegetative state. I think you should have to have a series of checks and balances so that you don't do it like when someone's like 15. But anyway, puppy dog's name is Jade. Up at the Rainbow Bridge, frolicking and enjoying life. Clown of Carnage Nick says, for my Sean, I guess your son, ear covers can work, but sometimes it's still too much stimulation for him. Jeremy says, do earplugs work or is it still too loud? Yeah, I don't know. I think she just jams her fingers in her ear and that works as good as it possibly can. That's what she prefers, at least. I think they've tried everything. And she's like, I don't want this. I don't want that. I'm just going to stick my fingers in my ears, and that's the end of it. I just took this big drink of coffee, and it didn't want to go down. Sorry. So at one point during the weekend, we're there, and O'Neill takes off. And, okay, so my drive is a couple of clicks. I guess. Maybe not. I don't know what a click is. A mile? So it's like 0.3 miles to the end of it. And then you can either go left or you can go right. Another two track. And then that will take you to the left to the quote unquote main road that no one travels on, even though it is a main road. So he takes off. Pooh Bear goes after him, and he's not coming back. So, and I know Stevie's like, oh my God, do you hope you have your collar on him? Yeah, but it doesn't work out there. I mean, it does, but we don't have any cell reception. So we'd have to drive to where we have cell reception to see where he is. I jump in the truck. I start honking the horn and driving the same way he ran. I pass Pooh Bear. She goes, he's down there. And you look way down this fucking road. So now it's a total of about 0.6 miles that he is. And this is quick. He got there fucking fast. And I honk the horn and he's out in the jungle and he pops right back out on the two track and then looks at me. He's 1 inch from this main road where he will get run over. There's not a lot of traffic on there, like I said, but He's a jackass. He sees me. He hears a horn and comes running back. And holy fuck, was he in trouble. We didn't like beat him or anything. That's not really our thing. We don't really beat our dogs. But he knew it. You know, he got in the truck and he's like, what? What? He just can't control himself. He gets that zoomy vibe going when the dogs get the zoomies. Most dogs will just run in a circle. Not O'Neill. Uh-uh. He's going to run straight as far as he possibly can. Molly says, why does he run away from you? Yeah, that's a great question. I wish I knew. But we got him back, thank God. And he lives for another day. I have the video that I want to share with you. This is video that I set up my cell phone and recorded myself as I was building something in the yard there. As you can see, this is like a swing. That doesn't matter. But the reason why the video is on me and I'm recording it is because, as I indicated in the first part of this podcast, the military was doing these exercises where they blow shit up and shoot these giant cannons called howitzers. And so you'll hear it here shortly after I press play on this. It'll give you an idea of just how close they are to my property. Like I said, the property butts up to this artillery range known as Range 40. So in this video, you see me there. You see the trailer in the background. Charity Scam Mike's trailer is there. And me putting together a couple of pipes on this swing, and then listen for it. You'll hear it loud and clear when that gun goes off. Here you go. Yeah, that's not an exaggeration at all than what I describe it. I didn't want to say, I probably sold it short. I hope it was loud in your ears. So that's part of the reason why O'Neill was freaking out. It's like they're in our backyard. Well, they are. Maureen said, I thought it might be a video of you picking up sticks. Molly says, what type of dog is O'Neill? I'm not entirely sure, but I think he's part German Shepherd, part Beagle. And I couldn't tell you what else. Donut Dan says, the bang is fine. You only need to freak when you hear the whistle a few seconds later. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. All right. But that was a great time. Meanwhile, not far from us, where we are at Fear Bunker North, there was an incident at the Walmart. So it's probably about 45, 50 miles away. But there was a crazy terror attack. Not like Islamic terrorism. Homegrown crazy guy terrorism. This guy is in from a community about 45 miles north of Fear Bunker North. He then drove to the west, the west and the south, to the Walmart in Traverse City. And then he got out his pocket knife. This is the knife right here. And he started to stab people. And he stabbed 11 people at the Walmart. We pick up the video outside of the Walmart where the only black guy in Traverse City had a gun on him. And he ended up busting this whole thing up. This is a news story from one of the news channels that was covering this deal. I think. At least that's what my plan was.
We're learning more about a mass stabbing at a Walmart in northern Michigan. Authorities say yesterday's attack was sudden and random. It hospitalized 11 people, four of whom are in serious condition, with ages ranging from 29 to 84. The suspect is awaiting arraignment.
She looks like the type of woman who might excel at, like, CrossFit or rugby. Like, look at the shoulders on her. She would beat your ass.
On charges of terrorism, ABC's Rena Roy tells us what authorities are now revealing and has some new video for us.
A community is reeling following a stabbing at a Walmart in Traverse City, Michigan, north of Grand Rapids. At least 11 people stabbed in what authorities are calling a random attack.
I need to get inside Walmart. I've got multiple victims.
New video release shows by...
Okay, now this is it. This guy right here, this is the only black guy in Traverse City. And he's got the pistol on the bad guy. You can't see the bad guy in the frame. And then lavender shirt, dirty feet guy. He's going to get involved. And like, he doesn't have a weapon, but he kind of like gets right up in the face of the bad guy, which was stupid. I was just hoping that the black guy would have shot him.
Standers confronting the alleged suspect outside the store.
Throw the knife that way. Throw it away. Throw it away.
Look, in Texas, you get one warning and then they just shoot you. I like how the black guy's holding the gun sideways.
A man pointing a gun at the alleged suspect. Another man demanding he drop the knife. The camera then quickly panning to one of the victims.
All right, this person's bleeding. Some lady here with cankles.
Officials say the attack erupted near the checkout area. The suspect, a 42-year-old male and Michigan resident. No motive has been determined.
The suspect, who has been identified as 42-year-old Bradford James Gilley of Afton, Michigan, was arrested.
Oh, that's extreme hard living line area.
Transported to Grand Traverse County Jail, where he will remain pending formal charges and arraignment.
Julia Martell was inside the Walmart.
I heard screaming and I went towards the screaming and I saw the guy with the knife shove somebody. And after he shoved them, he was headed in my direction.
I'm kind of disappointed that these hillbillies let this son of a bitch stab 11 people before the one black guy in Traverse City put an end to it. I mean, the guy's got one fucking knife. Why can't you just somebody come up behind him, get him in a bear hug or a rear naked choke, and then there's strength in numbers. What the fuck is going on here? Why did this take so fucking long? What a bunch of pussies.
I was right there. I saw the knife. But I got out of his way in time. And it seemed like all of the people who...
Or grab a fucking shower rod from Housewares and take this fucker out.
Got stabbed and got attacked were people who couldn't physically get out of his way, like people in wheelchairs.
Authorities say there were no predetermined victims. Walmart releasing a statement saying violence like this is unacceptable.
Oh, yeah, and thanks. Thanks for going the extra mile and putting yourself out on a limb with violence is unacceptable.
Continue working closely with law enforcement during their investigation. Michigan's governor adding their thoughts are with the victims and the community. Rena Roy, ABC News, New York.
Yeah, if I'm a governor, you know, I actually want to jump on board with... I actually think it would be more effective for people that are affected by this to actually say, what a horrible thing. I want to encourage all Michiganders to be a little bit more heavy-handed when this happens. To the one black guy in Traverse City, you should have shot him. You should have given him one warning and then shot him in the fucking face. That's what should have happened. I encourage all citizens of Michigan to take up arms or shower curtains and bash these bastards over the head. Yoda World said guns cost money. If it's a poor enough area, they're just good poor people. Not gang banger poor. Exactly. But, you know, in Michigan, most people have guns here. 99.99% of the population carries a pistol in the great state of Michigan. I don't think Yoda World is from Michigan. All of the people that live here are gun-toting hooligans. And I don't even know how we have any crime here, frankly, because everybody's got guns around here. Nick says knives suck. I'd like to think I would step in, but knives really suck. Yeah, you know, once you get the first guy with the arms around him, though, you might get nicked, but you get that lock on him, and then here comes the cavalry. You know, you're going to get lavender shirt, dirty feet guy showing up there. And then once you get that action going, you can disarm them. And then you have more time to bash that fucker's head in. Okay? So in a perfect world, Easy is there. He grabs him. Lavender shirt, dirty feet. Then gets, okay, the him free of the knife. Now we take him down to the ground, and I'm grabbing replacement toilet seat and bashing his brains in like Reginald Denny. We're all right, let's go to work on this motherfucker. And, you know, we rip him up. We rip him up right there on the floor of Walmart. We make that son of a bitch pay. We beat him to within an inch of his life. And then the cops show up. Hey, what happened to this guy? I don't know what happened to him. No idea. Clown of Carnage says there's no way you aren't getting cut. I know. Whatever. Donut Dan says, easy, look up the 21-foot rule as it pertains to knife attacks. I think I know what that is. Before I were to look it up, I think that has to do with if they're 21 feet or closer to you, you're going to want to fire by that point. I think if you have a guy, you have the drop on the guy, the pistol on him, and you're keeping that distance, and they start to make a break at you, there's a pretty good chance they could get to you, even if you shoot them. I think that that's what it is. Let's find out. 21-foot rule knife attacks. This is from Blue Line Magazine. It says, is it true that you don't bring a knife to a gunfight? Have you ever practiced any Tooler drills or discussed the 21-foot rule in firearms or use of force training when people actually do bring knives? Originally designed to help officers think defensively and develop a better level of tactical awareness, the 21-foot rule was intended to illustrate the distance that an assailant could cover with an edged weapon before an officer could respond with a holstered sidearm. The problem is that widely taught drills developed from that original concept may have reinforced a big myth. If someone has a knife and they're within 21 feet, you can shoot them. Wrong. The 21-foot rule was never intended to become a firm rule of behavior. Drills performed without a better understanding of the back or understanding of the background behind them or without knowing more about the performance of the human body, blah, 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 blah. All right. The myth of the 21-foot rule. Sergeant Tooler opened a lot of eyes about action versus reaction and helped revolutionize police training, but his studies have been misinterpreted to justify shooting an assailant at a certain set distance. 21-foot rule became part of police culture and has been widely taught at law enforcement seminars in the U.S., but to our knowledge has never been recognized by a court in Canada. All right. Other studies done in Canada have even suggested the action-reaction gap might be further than 21 feet. Oh, okay. So there's a little bit more to unpack there, but I think that that's what you're talking about. I think this. If I've got the drop on you, like I haven't drawn, but I'm actually, no, I mean, I take it back. I am drawn, and I'm like, put the gun down. Or like Traverse City's only black guy. Turning the gun sideways, put the gun down. If I'm drawn, it can be less than 21 feet, in my opinion. I mean, I'll stay away, but I'll be quick to let that round go. I'm already drawn on you. All I got to do is pull my fucking trigger, and you're dead. Come on back. Come see us. Come see everybody. In a few words, tell them about your trip and come up here.
It was awesome, relaxing, exciting, and I read 4 books.
I said 5. It was 4?
4.
What was your favorite meal?
The ribs.
I had talked with them about the... We made it twice!
Okay, I'm off to the doctor.
This is the eye doctor?
No.
Another doctor?
Yeah. Throat doctor, remember?
Oh, throat doctor. Oh, okay. Alan wants to know if you honk the horn. Oh, you got to piss her off. Donut Dan says, yes, it is the reaction needed to stop him. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I'm just going to fucking shoot. I don't give a fuck. And then I'm going to shoot until there's no more rounds. The magazine holds 16. I'm going to shoot them all. I'm actually going to shoot, and then he's not moving, and then get up to his head and, like, punctuate it like a stapler, you know, various spots of his brain. He's going to look like Hitler in the film Inglourious Basterds. Bob writes, the time it takes a knife attacker to close the gap of 21 feet is that to draw and fire a holstered gun. Donut Dan says, shoot to stop the aggression, not to kill. Well, I don't know what it takes to stop the aggression. So just to be sure, I'm going to use all of my bullets. And then they say, hey, did you shoot this assailant? And I just say, I don't ask questions. And I pull out a card and I go, this is my lawyer. You call him. I speak through my lawyer. I'm not saying anything. Fuck you. Clown of Carnage says, you need some gun law classes so you don't get put in jail. That's not true. All I need is my lawyer. You pay these fuckers to get the best of education. I say to them, what can I do? He tells me. I go, okay. And then I take that out into the field when the time is right, if I'm ever at Walmart and that crazy fuck is stabbing someone. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this. If he's actually stabbing someone, I don't have to say stop or I'll shoot. You just shoot him because you're in fear of that person's life being taken by him. Okay? You just shoot the fucker. Different scenario. He stabs somebody. He turns around. He takes two steps the opposite direction. No one in his sight. No one in front of him. Everybody's scattering. I walk in and I say, stop. Drop the weapon. Drop the weapon. I will shoot you. Drop the weapon. Police are coming. He starts to take a step towards me. I see fire in his eyes. He raises his hand. Bam, 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 bam. Till the threat is nullified. There's holes in his back the size of a goddamn tennis ball. Down he goes. That's the end of that. And then just gun on him. Don't move. You wait. You just wait. And you don't move until the cops come. If he fucking comes to and makes a go for the... Maybe even you can kick the knife away if that's a thing. But you just basically wait there till the cavalry arrives. You don't have to sit there and go, stop! I've got a gun. I'm going to shoot you. Nah, if he's stabbing that bitch, shoot that fucker. Dan, with his two decades plus of law enforcement, writes, correct. No warning in that case. Even if he stops and starts to run after already stabbing more than one person, you can cap him as he runs away. Precisely because I can't predict what he's going to do when he encounters other shoppers. What if he makes it out the fucking door or he stabs a goddamn 95-year-old greeter on the way out? Nah, fuck that shit. He's a goddamn weapon. You kill him. Or you shoot to stop the assault. Clown of Carnage says, once he runs, doesn't it get murky? You have to think, because if you are in front of a judge or cops or a jury of your peers, the question is asked, did you fear for your life or anyone else's life? He's running away with a knife in his hand. He's already set precedent. He's going to hurt people with that information in front of you, and you have the means to stop him. Boom, you shoot him. That holds up 10 out of 10 times. If he drops the knife and is running away, things change. You have to assess. You look, you listen, you pay attention. That's why you need brilliant people like me with weaponry. We need more brilliant souls like myself who can assess these various moments and determine the correct course of action. This is yet another reason why I am better than everyone else in the world. Dan says, yes, split-second decision-making process is a must. However, you could also make the argument if he dropped the knife and he's still running, you could still shoot him and make the argument, I assumed he had another weapon on him. And that could very well be all it takes. If you're saving innocent lives, it helps to have a solid lawyer and precedent set in place about these things. Plus, you have the added benefit of Trump. Okay? Like this black guy here, Traverse City's only black guy who had the gun, he's going to be probably at the White House getting blown by the end of the week. Jeremy says, I thought he might be running to find his next victim, so I turned him into meat to protect the public. Precisely. Ladies and gentlemen, I have some sponsors that I need to mention. There's so much to talk about on this show today. It's ridiculous that I'm almost like, I'm so excited. I'm jumping all over my topics and forgetting my amazing, important partners. Frank Fuss wants to help you out with your insurance. So let's say you are without insurance right now. You're in between jobs. Perhaps you're self-employed. Maybe your employer does not offer you insurance. You have to get that health care. To get it, I want you to go to this spot online, BUY, buyinsurancehere.com, buyinsurancehere.com. Fill out the form and then wait. Frank will reach out to you. Now, occasionally it happens where somebody falls through the cracks. Please let me know if you are not like approached by Frank. He'll send you a link to book your meeting with him. Might be over the phone, whatever you choose. It's up to you. He could come see you. Buyinsurancehere.com, and he will help you get your insurance policy through healthcare.gov. I just had someone reach out and say, EZ, I heard you talk about how if your insurance costs 9.75% or higher of your pay, you are entitled to get an opportunity to get your insurance through healthcare.gov. That is true. That will save you money, and you will get a better policy. Buyinsurancehere.com for Frank Fuss. The realtor of choice on the show is Adam Kasari. If you're in West Michigan and you want to sell your home or you're looking to buy, 616-914-4061. Or find Adam on Facebook, Adam, A-D-A-M, C-A-S-A-R-I. He's also in the show notes of this audio podcast, as are all of my great sponsors. You can call him at 616-914-4061. Say, Adam, EZ reached out and I want to buy a home. Can you find one for me? Yes. Adam, I'm selling my home. Can you sell my home for me? Yes. Of course, if you're selling your home through Adam, whatever the percentage is for a realtor, I have no idea. That goes to him. That's how he makes his money. You buy a home through Adam. Obviously, it doesn't cost you a damn dime. He's just putting you in front of the best properties available. Tap into the Adam Kasari world, A-D-A-M-C-A-S-A-R-I, at 616-914-4061. My sweet, sweet friends at Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. They keep the cars in the EZ household running great, including my now 22-year-old pickup, which is a relic. 616-532-6600. Boy, I have had nothing but great success with that thing. I bought that thing about 5 years ago off my dad. And other than getting the brake lines replaced, which were corroded, and the actual brakes replaced, knock on wood, that thing's been running like a top. ervines.com. And they did all those things for me, by the way. ervines.com. That's ervines.com. They also recently did some major work on Madison's car. I forget what it was. What was wrong with that thing? Oh, it was the catalytic converter. They replaced the catalytic converter. It was a great process. I didn't go the route of Hillbilly Nick from the arena, who suggested that I get some stupid Amazon parts. No, I'm having it professionally done, guaranteed work. The parts are guaranteed. The work's guaranteed. If I needed a loaner car, I could get one there. ervines.com in West Michigan, 616-532-6600. Book club premieres tonight on Patreon. If you're within the sound of my voice or watching this right now live, our first book is The Heroin Diaries by Nikki Sixx. By all means, if you're on Patreon, get the book and then join us on book club. You don't even have to join us on the Zoom. You might just want to hear us talk about the book that you're reading. So if you are already a Patreon member, we will do that show today. The first ever meeting of the Eric Zane Show podcast book club. Big Fraud Book Club meets tonight at 6 p.m. I will send out the Zoom link for my Tier 2 members. If you are not a Tier 2 member, you will be able to hear the book club meeting on Tier 1, the audio of that. But this is a new show that we just added that we put on the front burner because of just brainstorming here on the show, thanks to the audience. Maureen's name was the first name drawn on book club. There's about a dozen, or I'm sorry, two dozen of us on there. And like I said, I would love it if you gave me your name so I know who's actually in book club, but you don't have to. And if I have your name, I can draw your name for the next book that we read, because Maureen's name was drawn. She chose The Heroin Diaries by Nikki Sixx. And then we are going to discuss the first 25% of that book tonight. I was able to get the homework assignment done. I have completed more than 25% of the book of The Heroin Diaries. And I really don't want to say anything specifically about the book. I don't even want to say what I good or bad or anything at all. Because I'm saving it for our book club meeting. This is going to be a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to discuss the book with you. So that's going to be awesome. If you want in on book club, just shoot me an email or text me if you have my number or whatever. Just make sure I get it. Eric@ericzaneshow.com. We even have people on the show that aren't regular viewers or listeners of the show that are taking part in it. Like Chris Denham, Man Bun Chris. His better half, Mallory, is in the Big Fraud Book Club to discuss The Heroin Diaries. Aram's better half, I don't remember her name. I think it begins with an A. No, it begins with a J. Is it Joanne? I think it's Joanne. She's reading the book, too. Now, some people might get shy and not want to participate on the Zoom. Totally cool. You'll watch it after, and we'll probably talk about something that's interesting to you. Some of you folks have that debilitating thing called shyness, which is fucking horrible. I want you to not be shy anymore. And some of you are like, well, I can't. I do not accept that. There is no way. You've just enabled yourself for years. Okay? No. Stop. You're going to click on the link and you're going to be part of the Zoom. And that's the end of it. And then when your narrow ass realizes that this is stupid to ever be shy about anything, I am now going to be with strangers and you're going to kick ass and know that it's awesome, then all right, we have now, it's self-help. Like Nick here, clown of carnage. He was full retard until he got in on the Zoom. He had watched from afar. He had been a fan. He was like, oh, I love that group, but I'm shy. I can't do it. I'm like, fuck you. So he finally put on his big boy pants and joined the group. And now he's a goddamn thoroughbred. He's a legend in the group. He writes, this is a great group to fight that shyness and anxiety. So I kind of hate the shy. All right. Now, and I put myself at great risk when I say that, because I am looking audience members in the face and saying, fuck your shyness. I don't give a shit. Get your ass in the Zoom and join us. All right. I know what I'm doing when it comes to bringing people along. I treat people who are new, like Nick at one point, like his, if you remember back, if you were to go back and see the first few shows with Nick, I took it easy on him. There's no beating the shit out of the newbies. You got to let them kind of get up to speed. I know what I'm doing. I'm a professional. So anyway, book club debuts on Patreon tonight. Sign up free at patreon.com/Eric Zane. I have just three more days left in July. I haven't been at 240 or more paid Patreon members in years. I have been going up for about 2 years, but it's a slow process. Right now, I am at 237. Go to patreon.com/Eric Zane. Sign up for 7 days free, and then you will realize that it's fucking amazing, and you will keep it. I have two more great things to talk about. I'm going to talk about the Rangers, the Michigan Rangers. Which, by the way, I just remembered that I've got this shirt. I should have wore it all year, but I forgot that I even had it. And then I just found it when I was starting today. And then I'm going to talk about the Fat-a-thon. Man Bun Chris's Michigan Rangers, while I was away, won again. They won yet another game. Now, just so that we're all on the same page here, Man Bun Chris, legendary member of the audience. I also have to talk about Amy, runner girl Amy. Just remembered that. Thank you for reminding me. Man Bun Chris runs this organization called Michigan Rangers FC. He also runs the youth programs. Those teams are also known as Michigan Rangers. All these little fuckers running around. He has to balance all of this shit. He's running a sports franchise. Not only is he running a sports franchise, but he has to do the kids league. So it's a lot of work. The Rangers kept winning when they made it into the playoffs. Now, this league, the National Premier Soccer League, is 75 teams across the United States. It's a semi-pro league. A lot of the guys are former college players. Some play in the off-season of their college season. It's fun. Excuse me. You know, people pay a handful of bucks to go to the games. They got great. You want to build as much local support as you can. But stand by. Team kept winning. So 75 teams in a league, they keep winning, and then they play the conference semifinals, which I was a part of that. They won that. Then they played in the conference finals, and they won that. Then they go to Rochester, New York. And in that game, first of all, that game that was back here at Davenport, they were down 2-1, and then they scored late. It was the rain-delayed game, the thunderstorm-delayed game that I left. They come roaring back, win that, advance to the finals. They win that. They go to Rochester, New York when I was away, and they fucking won. So now, out of 75 teams, it's down to four. Count them, four. And the league said, we want you to host your game for the semifinals. So So they win that. They go to the finals. And that game was on Saturday night. And they fell. They lost 2-0. But I can't. I mean, that what a outstanding run. And then all you need to do is win. Win and they will come. Build it. And they, what was that movie? Field of Dreams? Build it and they will come. And that's what the team did, because there was some great coverage. Wood TV 8 did a story. The huge show covered, you know, the team's winning with head coach Stuart Collins. So that was a great run. Those boys should be very proud, boys and girls, who helped put that show on. So well done. Just happened to be part of it. I'm very, very lucky. Runner girl Amy over the weekend, Amy Dickinson. I don't follow her on the Strava app, but if you follow her, she does like a workout and you like see what she did. So over the weekend, I forget where she was. I think she was in like another country or something like that. And you oftentimes will see her in other countries doing races. And that was the case. Was it in another country? No, it was in another state. Well, kind of another country. San Francisco. Well, that's essentially another country. So she had to dodge filthy homeless people. And it is known as the Michelob Ultra Zero Excuses Challenge. So an ultra marathon is anything over 26.2. One loop around San Francisco is 26.31 miles. She wrote, "I made the first loop, now on to the next one. Oh, and I encountered a giant raccoon during an emergency potty break." So she had to go potty, and a raccoon tried to assault her. And then there's a picture of her at the base of the Golden Gate Bridge. And she says, After finishing that first marathon, I had about 1.5 hours before the second one started. This was tough. And she ran another marathon. So in one day, she ran she ran just shy of 53 miles. The first marathon, steady Eddie pace, 10:55. I would have a hard time running 3 miles right now at 10:55. She ran 26.31, and then she followed that up, despite the fatigue, running the same distance in 11:23 a mile. So that's fucking fantastic. So basically just over 11 minutes a mile for over 52 miles, nearly 53 miles. That is no easy fee. Feet, I should say. Fee. God, what happened? Bob with a great comment. You just go potty in the street like everyone in San Francisco. Yeah, it makes me sad. I love that town, and it's gone to shit. Did you see the executive order by Trump getting homeless people off of the street? It's a tremendous executive order. I support that entirely. If I'm Trump, this is what I do. Eric Zane, first day in office. I signed that executive order. And what I do is I say, help those who can't help themselves, executive order. That's what you title it. And then you have a press conference in the Oval Office. I'm signing this executive order. We're going to get America's homeless off of the street and get them the help that they need. Okay? And then you go to all of those encampments, and it's a National Guard effort. And then you hire dumpster divers or dumpaholics, and you roll down the street with Humvees, and you pick up all of that shit. And you gather all these people up and you put them in enormous paddy wagons. And in order to keep them safe, you put all of these homeless drug addicts and losers and you shackle them all. And then you travel, you interview every one of them and say, are you ready to go into the treatment program? And they'll say, yes. And you say, good, good answer. Let's get you in it. And they, you know, take care of these people. And then they say, are you ready to go to the next guy? Are you ready to go into the treatment program? And they say, no, fuck you. And they go, okay. And then you send them to El fucking Salvador. All right. That's what I do day one. And I make it very clear. I actually run on that. All right. Day one, I'm going to make American cities great again. Maybe I'll come up with a different slogan, but I like that one. And I'm going to give them every opportunity to turn their lives around. Get them a fantastic place to live, stable place, safe food, top-notch medical care, support to get them free of drugs. You have a choice. You either stay or you get out of the country. That's what we're going to do. And then we can clean up our American cities. I've seen this firsthand when I visited Venice. It's a fucking shithole. Fuck that. How would you like to work your whole life to have a place to live, modest, and some asshole is out in front of your house wiping his asshole with your petunias? Trump has my 100% support on this. I have more love for that executive order than I have any other executive order. In fact, most of Trump's executive orders are crazy. And I only hope it's that extreme. I love that. You know how, like, you see occasionally families will do interventions? And most don't work, but you have to all be on the same page. Everybody has to say, yeah, all right, you either get off drugs or you're out, or you're not part of the family. And then everybody has to stick by it. Okay, you have to have that mentality when you handle it. These fucking people are crazy. You need look no further than the book that we're reading for the Eric Zane Show podcast, Big Fraud Book Club. The grip that drugs have on people. With Nikki Six. You gotta be aggressive. You gotta go big or go home, in my opinion. All right, let us update Fatathon. I realized early on in the vacation that calories don't count. I had to remind myself. While you're away, you're already working in your vacation, EZ. You're getting up at 5 a.m. So what I want you to do, EZ, is drink as much Faygo and eat as many racks of ribs as possible. That said, this was a disaster for me. Last time I talked to you, I weighed 177.5. I now weigh 180. I gained 2.5 pounds. That is incredible, which means now I have only lost 5.5 pounds in 13 weeks. That is hideous. But I'm back after it. Today's a new day. Clean slate. Because Amanda, she sent me her results. They were terrible. And I said, I got no room to talk, sister. She also packed on the pounds. Since the last time we met 2 weeks ago, she weighed 299.2. Her daughter, McKay, or whatever her name is, McKenna, Molesta, Matilda, Mariah. Amanda really pigged out. She is now a bulbous 302.6. She gained 3.4 pounds. That means, and remember, we started over. We drew that line in the sand because she was like, ah, fuck it. I'm going to throw in the towel. And this is like week five now because I missed last week. That means she was like down only like 2.5 pounds or something like that. Now she's up 0.9. So in 5 weeks, she's up 0.9. Oh, no, that's not good. Rebecca, she was 278 2 weeks ago. She's what we describe as flat now, not flat-chested. I'm talking about the weight. It's not up. It's not down. It's even. Up 0.2, which is as good as even. So no weight gain, no weight lost. And overall now she is down 16.5 after 27 weeks. She wrote something to me. What did she write? Can't find anything. Oh, here it is. Good morning, Eric. Welcome back. My work week was very boring without you in the chat. I cannot wait to hear your take on the Epstein list that doesn't exist. So many celebrity deaths, Ghislaine Maxwell, so much has happened. But on to the weight loss. My weight hasn't really moved at all. 2 weeks ago, I was 278. This morning, 278.2. I think I'm just in a rut. Probably time to change up the food. Well, let me ask you this. And again, I have no room to talk, but I want to ask you. Are you counting the calories? Because I really think that it's all calories. Are you actually writing down what you ate? And, you know, because you know what you're allowed to eat. You have that in your brain. Are you actually counting the calories? Because if you are, you will lose weight. I've been snacking more, and that's my own damn fault. Caving into the cravings and not much willpower to stop it. I also think I have either a small rotator cuff tear or frozen shoulder. I can't lift my arm over my head without assistance, and I cannot hold weight on it. Yeah, it sounds like it. Diana had that. I'm kind of my own worst enemy when it comes to injuries. I'm the idiot who just keeps pushing through it or ignoring it until I do actual damage to my body. Onward and upward to make better choices this week and getting this train back on track. I'm disappointed in myself. I make no excuses, and I deserve all the criticism you give me. Have a good weekend. Can't wait to the first Big Fraud Book Club meeting tonight. I'll be late joining because I won't be out of the gym until 6:15. Signed, Becky. Yeah, I think it's primarily the counting of the calories. If we all counted our calories, we'd be fine. But sometimes it's like, fuck it. I don't want to do it. I know I didn't want to do it. When we last met. Jeremy is down. He was at 221.6 2 weeks ago. He is down 2.8 pounds to 218.8. So you have three shitheads who are complete losers. Okay? Three excuse-making fucks between the three idiots. We have gained 6.1 pounds, and Jeremy has lost 2.8. The star on the blubber again is Jeremy. That means that in 48 weeks, he has lost 116.6 pounds. But he writes, it's been an up and down couple of weeks. It's getting harder to drop the weight. I knew that would happen eventually. I'm still plugging away. But I'm most likely not going to hit my goal of 200 by September 9. Well, let me just jump in right there. We don't think that far in advance. All we worry about is today. So I think with you being as far along as you are today, and maybe that's true, maybe that's not true. We don't care because we're worried about the 28th of July, Jeremy. Let's not go down the crystal ball path. He does say it's fine, though, because they've already come so far that missing one goal isn't really going to bother me much. Yeah, that's a great mindset. Further talk about weight loss maintenance. He says, as for other stuff, I had a job interview last week. They seemed to like what I had to say. Hopefully that comes to fruition. This job is hauling gasoline to gas stations, a job I did for 6 years. Okay, there you go. He's got pinball coming up. So a lot of great info there about what's going on in his life. I did hear from audience member Jason B., who I can pass this along to you. He says, every so often, Jeremy mentions looking for a new job. Attached is a driving job at my workplace. Please pass it along to him to see if he is interested. It will help him keep the weight off because we get to unload the trucks, too. If it is something he is interested in, he can contact me if he has any questions. So I need to forward this right now. I'll let you decide. Forward, J-E-R. There you go. Okay. So there you go. Jeremy still continues to lose weight. The three of us are assholes, and we gained weight. No excuses, even though that's all Rebecca gave us. Rebecca's like, no excuses, and then gave me excuses. It would have just been great to say, yeah, I was fat. Boy, that food was good. I quit trying for a period of time. I will try to try again. You know what you've done to be a success. So don't sit there and tell me all these excuses. You just didn't do it. Even if your shoulders hurt, that doesn't fucking matter. At all. Write down your calories. Don't eat when you get to that point. And go take a fucking walk. Or work your legs out. Whatever the fuck it is. Or write me long-winded emails telling me your excuses, twat. You know, I love you. Thank you to Berlin Raceway. I will be out at Berlin, and we've started a new campaign. For my next two appearances at Berlin, the next one is on August 23. We will be doing our first ever edition of Eric Zane, Uninformed Track Announcer, where I will announce the race from the announcer's booth to the crowd in the audience. I don't know any of the drivers. I don't know any of the terminology. But I will be, sight unseen, improving my way through calling that race to the masses of those hillbillies at the track. That is August 23. But they have racing every weekend till then. And you can get tickets for $15 a pop if you buy them by 11:59 Friday night. BerlinRaceway.com. The parking is free. 15 and under is free. The snacks are cheap. The beer is cold. You can bring in all your goodies that you want in a 12 by 18 cooler. Just no booze, no glass. BerlinRaceway.com. Over the week, I got another quarter committal from my friends at King's Room Barbershop. They also reached out and said that their furnace was on the fritz. Furnace/AC at the Wyoming location. He said, who's your furnace AC guy? I said, that's Joe Martinez. The only reason why I'm telling you about him is because he just committed to more marketing. See how that works? Anyway, King's Room Barbershop, if you need a haircut, that's where you go. Please mention me when you go there. There's three locations, Caledonia, Northland Drive, and at 821 36th Street. All the specific information, you find that at kingsroom.net. That is kingsroom.net. Also, Kuiper Tree Care. When it comes to getting any type of work done, like you got a tree that falls in the property, perhaps you want to get a tree removed because it's way past its prime, you can get the stump ground up. You can get that type of service from Kuiper Tree Care, sorry. Perhaps there's storm damage. Perhaps you need some tree risk assessment to determine if your trees are healthy with their 3 certified arborists. Maybe you need some tree pruning. They can do all that for you at Kuiper Tree Care. Reach out to them at 616-828-8225. That is 616-828-8225. Asshole of the day today is what's happening right now. And Bob has a great suggestion for the asshole of the day. It is the pocket knife dipshit who stabbed all the old folks at the fucking Walmart. Goddamn. Most of the clientele at Walmart has already been run through the ringer. Give those people a break. Life is already so bad that they shop at Walmart. If you're going to do that type of terror attack, you got to do it at like a high-end place. Man Bun Chris is here on a late visit for us in the second half of the show. You'll have to go back and check this out because I went deep on the Michigan Rangers, buddy. By the way, one more thing about the Rangers. There was a moment in that game which they fell 2-0 over the weekend where one of the players from the other team, El Farolito, who they actually won the championship last year, very good team, he got his bell rung. And they had to, like, he was laying there all fucked up on the turf. And everybody thought he was faking it, but he wasn't. He was fucked up. They had to call an ambulance for his ass. I guess he's okay, though. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so good to be back with you doing the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Follow the show on Twitch if you haven't already. Follow the audio podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You're all great. Please sign up for Patreon if you want more content. Sign up for free at patreon.com/Eric Zane. As always, that is my show. You can reach out, eric@ericzaneshow.com on the Shoreliners Striping fan page. If that's something for you, if you want to say hello, by all means. I'll talk to you a little bit later on in the Patreon. And then, of course, we've got the first ever Eric Zane Show podcast, Big Fraud Book Club. Looking forward to that. Okay, folks, have a great rest of your day. Be productive. Be fun. Be good to each other. Don't stab anybody. And I'll talk to you a little later on. Bye-bye.